Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
High noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. That was Rob Bradford last week. I think our answer to that was no.
Yeah.
No, we don't see him getting just an avalanche of money.
No.
When he decides to actually opt out, the plan is to opt out, according to John Heyman. Sounds like he's going to. And so what does it mean for the Red Sox? I'm surprised. I understand the qualifying offer or the lack of a qualifying offer this go-round. And that should make him more attractive to teams in theory. There's no draft pick compensation tied to him as there would have been a year ago. We brought this up with Pete Alonso before as well.
Yeah.
I get that. I still don't think. You brought up the third baseman contracts before. Matt Olson. On the wrong side of 30, which Bregman is. Third baseman, biggest contracts they've got. He got 6 years, 150 at age 31.
Yeah, because looking at some of these big deals, Manny Machado signed his at 30. Devers signed his at 26. Anthony Rendon, which is more of a cautionary tale than anything else, signed his at 29. Nolan Arenado signed his big contract at 27. Austin Riley was 25. Jose Ram, one of the GOATs, at 29. And those all vary, right? Some of those are as high as, you know, Machado's is 11. Some of those are more 6-7 year deals. So,
and I'd imagine some of those guys were coming off stronger years, too.
I think even a 6-year deal would be an overpay. And that's what he was offered last year. And so this year, maybe it's more like a 4 or 5 year deal. And it's certainly not going to be the average annual value of 41. The highest average annuals, there's only 4 third basemen making over $30 million a year. And one of those guys is Rendon, which again is like the worst contract in baseball history.
Yeah, that's
like a joke of a contract.
The year before Matt Chapman got paid by the Giants, he hit 17 home runs and hit 240.
Okay, so that's not good.
Yeah, that's not
good. He was 30 when he signed, or that 31. Was his age 30 season.
How many games do you have it?
140 games.
Okay, so he would have had the edge on Bregman there, but yeah, that's Bregman, a down year.
Bregman missed 50 games, and he's going to be 32 on opening day. So
yeah, and I feel weird talking about him that way.
I like Bregman. I want Bregman. I'm just saying, like, I don't think there's this $200 million contract waiting for him.
Right, but okay, let's say he does follow through on opting out. I didn't think it was a lock, but it sounds like it's going to happen now based on the reporting from John Heyman, who, let's just say, has a direct line to Bregman's agent. So, yeah, I think now you have to overpay for him, and they have you over a barrel to some extent. And I don't think Boris has made all the right financial decisions for his client lately. I guarantee you Jordan Montgomery didn't think he made the right financial decisions. That's why he fired him.
Like even Blake Snell, I can't imagine, was thrilled with it a couple years ago.
So, but on this one, it looks like Boris is playing it right, assuming there's a market out there. Are you willing, Keith, to overpay for Bregman? Who, again, I like a lot, but I like a lot of the intangible stuff. Winner, been there, done that. Professional, you know, leader on this team. I like a lot of what all that represents as opposed to what they've had here in the past. And I think with a young team, Roman Anthony and guys like this, you need that. Are you willing to overpay? Whatever that is, but 6 years, 150, Twitch chat is saying give him massive AAV over short term.
Yeah, but he's walking away from that.
I was just going to say, I don't know that he'd want that. He is walking away from that. He has that. So maybe massiver AAV over over short term. Like, I don't know.
Gotcha.
But whatever an overpay is in your mind, are you willing to go there overpay to bring back Bregman, or is it a hard line in the sand?
Well, let me ask you a question, follow up. And not to, you know, answer a question with a question.
But go ahead.
I'm fine, because we get into this argument once again, or this conversation where it's John Henry spending this money. We already, as fans, spend so much money to go to these games that, yeah, they should be at the top of the league in payroll. But are you overpaying Bregman in, like, you know, the world of, like, the market? And now you can't get Alonzo, Joe Ryan, Bo Bichette, like, you know, all these other guys. Or are you getting him in addition to all those guys? You're like, hey, we're bringing back Bregman, paying him a little bit more than we thought, but you know what? We don't have to pay Devers anymore. We got out of all of that contract. So we're overpaying Bregman, because honestly, they overpaid him this year. He's not worth $41 million a year, but that's how they got him. It was a short-term deal. They didn't have to commit to him long-term. But if they get him back, I really don't care what it is if you also get Pete Alonso.
Well,
but if he's the reason you don't get him, then, like, okay, that's a different conversation.
Well, and I'm with you. It shouldn't be an excuse. You dump the Devers money, so this is where you got to use it. So if you got to overpay on Bregman, great. You have more money to play around with. That should not prevent you from Tucker, Schwarber, Alonzo. I'd have Alonzo at the top of my personal list, as we've illustrated in the past. I think he's a perfect fit.
Because at the time of them signing Bregman, they had to commit 3 years, whatever, $120 million. The whole drama with Devers hadn't taken place yet. So they were probably still going to pay him that contract with Bregman. And then if the team does really well, I think the conversation would still come up this offseason. Hey, do you add somebody else? So I think there is that wiggle room, or maybe it's even in the budget, where you can be under what the future projections even were. Not that I'm trying to save him money. I'm just saying, like, how they might even be able to do this or justify it to themselves. Bring back Bregman, bring back Story, and still make a big splash.
Yeah. That's what bringing back Bregman is not enough. We don't give them a hero's welcome. And I think the Bregman signing was Breslow. He's the GM, baseball officer, chief baseball officer. So I gave him credit for that. If you don't retain Bregman, I'll blame him for that. I know a lot of people wanted to give Cora credit for the signing. Like, I hope you would assign some blame to Cora. If he walks, like, obviously he doesn't have that much impact with Bregman if he walks. So I hope the people who argued for Cora would stay consistent there. But there would be heat on the GM, and there already is. But there would be, from me specifically, if you can't figure this out. You don't really get that much credit for re-signing him. You already have him.
No.
And we went into the offseason saying, you need Bregman and Alonzo. Bregman and Schwarber. Bregman and Tucker. Like, pick one of those guys. Plus, mm-hmm. I'd like to see on top of that a trade for a pitcher. That's what I want. I want to sign a bat, trade for a pitcher, whether that's Campbell, Duran, etc.
Yeah.
Figure it out and go trade for a pitcher. But, yeah, just bringing back Bregman and largely running it back with the same group, I'm not giving you any credit for that. You already had him.
No, right. You saw how close you could get with the group that you have. And, yeah, Roman Anthony was hurt at the end of the year. So let's say you're a little bit better than that. You still lost in the wild card round. So how do you improve your team? It's right there for you. There's an obvious fit like Pete Alonso, but one of the reasons why he's the obvious fit is, in my mind, you already have the left side of your infield kind of set for next year. And then if you don't there, then there's sort of like a trickle down. So I don't fault Bregman for opting out. I thought he might just come back based on missing 50 games and $41 million. But it's not like the most shocking thing in the world. Like, maybe
let's see what he gets on the market.
Well, right.
Let's see what he gets
on the market. And maybe he said, you know what, like, I had this. I agreed to this deal with the opt outs. I'm going to use my opt out, and you know what? Maybe I'll just settle in on a 5 year deal, no opt outs. I'll know what I'm getting. It'll be less each of the next 2 years, but overall, I'm set, and I know where I am for 5 years and all that. Maybe he wants to do that.
Yeah, but if he gets 500, 6, 120, something like that, he screwed up royally, and Boris screwed up on his behalf royally. Yeah. And those,
do you think he gets $30 million per year?
No.
Yep.
Do you?
$30 million for 3 years?
Oh, on on a shorter term deal. I thought we were talking five, 6 years.
Three for 4 years. 38 for four. Because I don't think. So basically, he's walking away from two at 82. So if you put that into the equation, he has to get more than three for 90. Otherwise, that's insane.
Yeah, but does he want a short? If he wants a short term deal, he should have just stayed with this because he's not going to do better on a short term deal. I don't think. If I'm wrong, I'll say it. Like, I didn't think he would opt out. He hasn't yet, but it sounds like he's going to. I'll be wrong about that.
Yeah, like, who's going to pay him two for 90? Like,
I don't think anyone.
It's dumb.
So, yeah. And it's worth it to me for the Red Sox to overpay for him, but you would be overpaying. And I shudder to think of what they do if he leaves. Text line is asking about this. Right. What's the in-house option if Bregman leaves? He opts out signs somewhere else. So Meyer is now your third baseman. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I don't know how many games he's going to play, unfortunately. That's concerning. I think the player, and like defensively, he proved that he can play third. He can play anywhere, and he was willing to do it.
He can definitely do it defensively.
Yeah.
I still believe in the bat, so I'll even give you that. You hit on the main thing with him. How many games are you getting?
I know. And then if he's your third baseman, that obviously means he's not your second baseman, because I think just like everybody's healthy, everybody's back, couple of signings, he might be your second baseman, right? Story also could be gone, but Story, Bregman, Meyer, and Alonso, I think is like the dream infield. But there's also a reality where it's none of those guys. And Meyer's under contract, but Meyer might be hurt. Story and Bregman could leave, and then you just don't sign Alonso. And then you're like, Tristan Casas, Christian Campbell, David Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean,
Sogard.
I don't rule that out. They have goodwill to a degree from making the playoffs. A lot of fans are still upset about the Devers thing. I think they're wrong, but whatever.
Yeah.
They have some goodwill for making the playoffs.
Free agent third baseman except for Eugenio Suarez.
I could see them saying, hey, we're continuing with the youth movement and Bregman opted out, but oh well, he got a crazy. I could see them doing that. I wouldn't defend it at all. I'd kick and scream about it. But could I see the team doing that now that it sounds like Bregman is going to opt out? I could. Best guess is he's back. I think he wants to be back. I think the team wants him back. I think they understand the value, but it's dangerous giving John Henry too much credit.
I think the fit
and
is
saying
good.
Henry is definitely going to do X, Y, and Z and pay X, Y, and Z. That's dangerous to believe it until he actually does it. So if you're asking me to pick and guess, I bet he's back. But if he's not, they really don't have a lot of pivot options.
No, they don't. The free agency is pretty thin at that spot. Guys in-house.
You said Suarez is the big name? That's it?
Eugenio Suarez, Max Muncy. I mean, these guys are both in their mid-30s.
Muncy even playing third these days?
I don't think so. He's listed on the thing that I'm looking at. It's a club option, too, so maybe he doesn't even get the free agency. Kike Hernandez is listed as a third. Yoan Moncada.
I would rather not do that.
No, it's a pretty bad list.
So is Bregman worth overpaying for? Because I think now that it sounds like he plans to opt out, according to John Heyman, you're going to have to overpay.
Well, Texan said you could trade for Devers. He plays third. He could also play first.
Well, just get ready for it. I mean, if Bregman walks and signs with the Twins, the Tigers, whomever. Twins are probably a bad example. Tigers.
I mean, AJ Hinch, I could see the Tigers. Like, although they're in a fight now with Scooble.
The Devers people who magically went away again. The Devers people will be back in full force if Bregman signs somewhere else. And honestly, they'll have a better argument if Bregman leaves. Like, they will. The idea was Bregman's replacing Devers. He's an upgrade on Devers, which he was. And they'll have more of a leg to stand on if Bregman goes somewhere else. Rick is in Salem. Hello, Rick.
Rick,
hello?
Rick, are you there? We heard some beeping there. Yeah, that's an ominous sign.
Sounded very urgent. He says, get Bregman out of here. I've seen this on the text line, too. Get Bregman out of here.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, maybe he's
he hasn't even left yet.
That life support.
You driving him there?
Get him out of here. He's overrated, he says.
I don't think he's overrated.
He's not underrated.
He's not underrated.
I will say that. He's not underrated, and I'm guilty of this. Like, I love Bregman. I love the idea of the signing. He ain't underrated, so does that by default make him overrated?
No, he could be properly rated. You don't think he's properly rated?
I mean, did you hear Veritek this morning? I know you did.
I listened to Veritek.
He fixed everybody's swing. He's like the best teammate ever.
But some of that can be true.
Some of it can be true. He hit .273 with 18 homers. So,
but have you ever heard anybody say he's a top 5 player in baseball? Have you heard anybody say he's a top 10 player in baseball?
No, but could he be overrated and I still want him? Like, he could still be a good player and be overrated and I still want him.
Yeah.
He's a little overrated, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've probably been guilty of that.
We are overrating him.
Yeah.
Maybe Scott Boras is overrating him.
Maybe.
Maybe he's overrating himself. We'll find out.
I mean, He hasn't played a full year the last 2 years.
No.
His home runs dropped over the last 2 years. You did some of this earlier, Keith, 26 to 18. His batting average actually went up last year, 260 to 273, but the OPS went down. I'm sorry, I take that back. OPS went up, 821 to 768.
Yeah, no, it went up.
So, you know, he wasn't healthy last year. If he could play a full season, some of those numbers would look a lot better, but he hasn't done that for 2 years.
No. But, yeah, with all that, I still want him back. I think they make a good case to keep him, meaning, like, he's made the play. Every year he's been a starter, he's made the playoffs. And this would give you an opportunity to do it. He seemed like he had a great time. Great relationship with Alex Cora. Seems to love the young players. I don't know. Like, that's all appealing. That's good. But they're going to have to pay him. I don't think they have to go crazy, though. Like, I think what this does, and you knew it the second he signed the contract, and you knew about the opt-outs. And we lived this with JD Martinez, too. His was a little bit different. But I think it was a five-year deal with opt-outs after, was it 3 and 4? Whatever it was.
That sounds right.
But, like, you're going to have this time where it's going to seem like he's gone, then it's going to seem like he's back, then it's going to seem like, and then ultimately he's going to make a decision. So my prediction is he's back, but it doesn't mean you're not going to get these John Heyman stories trying to drive up the price or be like, oh, he's close to the Tigers or whatever. I still think he's back.
Twitch chat says 5 for $150. You think that would get it done for him?
I mean, I think it should, but I don't.
You don't even think you have to go there.
I mean, it's $30 million a year. That's fair. Because it's way more than what he has. It's more years. If he turned down a 6-year deal last year, I don't know if he had any regrets about that. But now that kind of puts you back to that same time. So maybe.
Another point here. People are asking, well, how can Bregman opt out already? Doesn't he have to wait till the end of the World Series? The report from John Heyman, to get into semantics,
is
that he plans to opt out. It's not that he has opted out.
They're not going to interrupt the World Series like with A-Rod and be like, hey, guys, by the way.
It is not past tense. He has opted out. It's that he plans to opt out. And when John Heyman says that, I think we know right where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty good insight on the plan. I don't think anybody's shocked by it. I didn't think it was a lock that he would opt out, but it sounds like that's not what he plans on doing. But the good news is, just because he opts out doesn't mean he won't come back.
Right.
We see this all the time. You've brought up Gerrit Cole, among others, guys who have opted out and gone right back to their team. So I think that's in play with Alex Bregman. But I think now you will be overpaying. And I think he's worth overpaying. Even if that makes him a little overrated and we're buying in a little too much on the intangibles and the leadership and everything else, I don't really see the alternative plan. And I think in some ways he was a perfect fit for you last year, just like I think Alonso would be a perfect fit this year.
Oh, yeah, no brainer.
And I would lean in on players like that. 617-779-7937. I read you this earlier, Keith. Dave Schoenfield had a plan for the Red Sox this offseason.
I love a good plan.
And we've done these in the past. Maybe we should bring these back.
Ooh, should we do another plan?
He says you got to re-sign Bregman. That one's tenuous.
I would agree with it, though. That would be a part of my plan.
Meyer to second base.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
I feel better about relying on Meyer there. I feel like they have more options potentially to pivot away from than going Meyer all in at third base.
It works for me.
Christian Campbell is the odd man out, most likely traded. I interpret that as...
Yeah, for what, I guess?
Probably pitching help.
I'm not just dumping him, but yeah, if you're getting somebody good, then okay.
Bring back Giolito, if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Or sign someone like Merrill Kelly, or if you're thinking bigger, Framber Valdez, Shane Bieber. Fill out the pitching staff, basically.
All right, so another big starter.
But he thinks the team will play it safe and bring back a similar roster.
Well, I don't like that at all, even for a lot of different reasons.
Even
I don't like
with
that.
Just Bregman.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I want them to overpay and bring Bregman back.
No.
If it's just Bregman with a similar roster, that is not enough.
Well, because we said this in real time. When they traded Devers, you got out from this massive contract. You weren't going to bring that player in or the equivalent in at the trade deadline, but we said this offseason they need to. And so it's sort of like, I think a lot of people wanted a big trade done then. Didn't happen. It was frustrating they didn't add more. I would have been happy with some rentals. But as far as like a potential 30, 40 home run guy, 120 RBI, like that type of player, it's probably more likely going to happen in the offseason. So if you don't do it at the deadline and then also don't do it in the offseason, then that trade looks even worse.
Meanwhile, between Alex Bregman, and we had reports the other week, I think this was Cotillo as well, they might not even be bothered if Bregman opted out and went elsewhere. I don't know if that's ownership. I don't know if that's Breslow. I don't know where those comments are.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Coming from...
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
4 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. Reminder, we're about 30 minutes away from talking to Lou Maloney, the most entertaining, exciting, passionate baseball analyst in Boston. And I don't know if you've noticed, there was no, like, drop-off. Oh, the season's over. Lou's going to just disappear for a while, and he'll come back maybe at the GM meetings. No. He's been all over Twitter. Lots of opinions. Doing a little of the Andy Hart fighting with people over, like, you have a good day. We'll leave it at this
I think that gets him going.
I do, too.
That gets his juices flowing a little bit.
I do, too.
You know, to be a little... antagonistic, if you don't.
You can't just watch the Dodgers win. That's boring. You got to do that.
Yeah, it helps also to have the World Series on and be thinking the entire time, damn it, we could have been there. Damn it, this should have been us.
Yeah, coulda, shoulda, woulda, didn't. But one of the key players, we talked about it earlier, Crochet is probably the main reason you became a playoff team this year. But if there was a position player, another addition, whatever you want to phrase it, that also played a key factor, Ted Johnson, it was your guy, Alex Bregman, who continued his... career long since ninth grade, making it to the playoffs. Every level he's ever been at, he's gone to the postseason. He did it again with the Boston Red Sox. He was scheduled to make another $80+ million over the next 2 years, but reportedly, Scott Boras and he have decided that he will be opting out of his contract, will hit free agency. So that means you may have to up the ante if you want to keep him. You may need to go more money, longer years. Who knows who you're competing with? How many teams out there need a very specific guy like Alex Bregman? I don't think he fits everybody. You know, there's a few. Can you win? Because that's what he's looking for.
Yep.
And does he put you over the top to winning? Because that's what the team would be looking for.
Yep.
Jason Varitek was on the Greg Hill show this morning.
Oh, Vitek was?
Yes.
Okay.
An insider, obviously, with the Boston Red Sox.
I would say so.
Longstanding captain and a very respected guy in that clubhouse. Interesting to get his opinions on what Alex Bregman is doing and what he brought to the table. So here's Veritek on the Greg Hill Show.
Alex Bregman is apparently going to opt out.
It's definitely business. I mean, is he a great player and a great part of our clubhouse? His third base play and just him being a teammate. But he took the risk of taking a shortened deal and have that option to find out, you know, what he's going to do as a free agent. Very, very, very smart man on both ends, both Scott and Breggy. You know, it'll iron its way out, and he'll pick his best spot. But I would guarantee it's got to be somewhere to have an opportunity to win, which can be here, and it could be somewhere else.
Oh, I don't like that final word.
Yeah.
It can be here was good. We should have just cut it there.
How about just leave it at should be, and that's that.
Just giving you both options there by Veritek. But if you look at Bregman's, going into the last offseason's free agency period, you know, he was coming off of one of his worst years ever as an Astro. Before he got getting signed here by the Red Sox, he was just hitting 260 in the year prior to coming here with the Astros. And so he got that money he got last year, and then had a huge bounce back year. Was in the made the All-Star team for the first time in 6 years. Had 18 home runs last year, 273 average, but those numbers were even better before the injury. So you can see that they start to decline after the injury comes, a leg injury. So it was one of those things where at the end of the year, you're like, is he really going to get more money out there based off of last year? Well, if you kind of look at the numbers and pre-injury and you go, yeah, he probably could get more money. And so at first I was a little like, come on, bro, what are you doing opting out? And then you're like, okay. Only 2 years remaining, and he wants a longer deal. His third base defense will play for a long time. He's going to be a desirable player on the market. So, I'm hoping that the Red Sox are in on the action and that they want to make a deal for him. But we'll see.
Don't shoot the messenger. But his WAR was actually lower last year, and the lowest of his career in a season in which he played at least 100 games.
Can you tell me what it was before the injury?
No,
that's just the overall season WAR. Yeah,
I mean, I'm factoring in. I'm giving him a little bit of slack. I think teams that are looking at him are going to say, okay, well, your numbers declined after the, why was your WAR so bad? Well, you weren't the same player you were after the injury.
And the 31-year-old, why'd you have that injury? Is your body breaking down a little bit?
You've had this a couple times?
Okay. Oh, multiple times you've had this thigh injury, Fitzgerald. I think this is a very complex argument. I think you can make very strong arguments that you need to be all in on bringing Alex Bregman back. He's that important to Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony and the pitchers. Was it Giolito that was raving about what he showed him about something? Yeah. And like, you can argue that. And then you can argue, well, his defense struggled early in the year when his offense was really good.
Oh, please. But what did it turn out to be?
Then his defense was good when his offense fell off the map. Right. Then he had that middle section where
he just missed time,
he had a boo-boo.
Period. Yeah. And then 2 months worth of boo-boo.
And even when he came back, and I give him credit for coming back, he couldn't run. He was basically jogging
for the most part.
Yeah, around the bases.
Yep.
Yes, Dan Ball.
Before the injury, just to answer Ted's question, 2.4 WAR, which was seventh best in baseball
hitters. Let's go. So that's what we're doing here. We're looking at that pre-injury.
Oh, so we picked the little portions that suit our art. Ted Johnson.
Dan Ball has a follow-up.
You don't think Boris is going to make that argument?
Please. Oh, he's got so many stacks of papers proving that Bregman is one of the five most valuable players in all of baseball, maybe in its history.
But when you put all this on paper and you look at it, you go, okay, I can see why he's maybe opting out. Right? I mean, at first, I didn't really think he should, but then you go, okay.
And we're going to get into this because I don't totally get it. I know Lou has been big on this. The looming lockout is something Lou thinks played a scenario here. And I think it's 2 years.
Yes.
And he didn't want to hit free agency when there's going to be a lockout and you're 33 and that'd be this weird world. So I still think, and maybe I'm naive, because the voters in the poll today think he's gone. They don't believe. There was like 58% believe Bregman's going to be gone on a different team. I think he's going to be back. I think they'll find some middle ground, four-year, $120 million deal. So you get the 80 you would have. We tacked on another 40. It's not as high AAV.
But you get the length. Overall, you're going to get paid more than you would on the two-year deal.
I'm telling you, Detroit is going to come in with a bag.
Again, though, because he kind of left them at the altar little bit.
Do you also want to become a little bit of a mercenary? I don't know. Like, something to be said for...
for your legacy.
You were with the Astros the whole time.
Did he move here?
Now you go to Boston and you just build Boston.
Yeah, Bregman, also known as... K KD. I mean, are we going to
be? Yeah. What are you chasing
ring
rings?
Chaser.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Whereas, does he have burners out there?
Yep. I bet he does.
No, St. Bregman does not have burners.
That's
out
true,
there. No way, St. Bregman. Yes, Dan Ball.
This is just my personal opinion, and it's kind of a side topic
to
all of this, but I think Scott Boras is giving his client terrible advice.
He misplayed.
Oh, really?
He mishandled Snell a couple of years ago.
Absolutely.
Coming
same
off
with
the
Jordan
World
Montgomery.
Series, Jordan Montgomery
that
got
same year.
Year. It was bad advice. I was just going to say, for every one or two deals that Boras nails by playing the greedy hand, he also misplays them wildly, and then the market comes back and says, yeah, look, your guy's going to be 32 in March. I don't want to give him an Albert Pujols length deal. Sorry. Like, we'll go three or four.
But how? Do you not agree that he's going to get more money?
More money total?
Total money. Guaranteed money. So $100 million instead of 80 or $120 instead of 80.
I'm not overly convinced that he's going to. I certainly don't think he's going to get the length of contract.
No. I'm not talking about. But I think it's hard to argue that Boras is not doing him a service. Even if he only gets him $10 million guaranteed, that's $10 million.
Right.
That's and yeah, you take out your 5% for Boras, but that's still $10 million. Like, I think he's going to get him more total dollars.
I agree.
I don't think he's going to get 6 years, $200 million, something stupid. Yeah. But he's going to get more than 80.
I agree, Dan. I could see him just getting, like Andy's saying, even incrementally more in another deal. I could. So I really feel like this is probably a safe bet,
by
him in a way. You know, I don't think there's this risk. And to the point that Lou's making, I will be curious to hear what he has to say when we have him on in a few minutes. It's just you want to secure a long term deal with this lockout looming, right? You don't want to be stuck on a short deal when you don't know if you're going to be playing baseball. Right?
So I can get a 4 year deal. I can get an extra $40 million total. I'm on the books. Whatever. I also don't know that you're going to get squeezed out the way some of these have worked out. Like, the Red Sox signed him late last year. I think they'd sign him even later this year. If he decided on April 1st that he wanted to play for the Boston Red Sox, I think Alex Cora would say, your jersey's ready. It's in your locker. Make sure you're loose. We don't want that quad thing again.
That's a risk. I don't
but
know.
I think they would take him no matter what. I really do. I don't see any vision where they replace him. What, are they going to go get Nolan Arenado and all of a sudden, no, Bregman, we have no spot for
you.
But
let me ask you just a simple question, you guys. Do the Red Sox need him? How bad do they need him?
Yes, they need him. How bad? I don't. Because I actually think Marcelo Meyer looked really good at third base when he played third base. I thought he looked really smooth over there.
Really smooth.
So, he's an excellent. Like, his defense is awesome.
If you say he's healthy,
is he helping Luis Giolito pitch?
No.
Or
he might
scout?
Not be here.
Meyer. Yeah. Who even knows? Like
Luis. Who
do we know that? Maybe this is yet another question. Are we keeping track of all the things we need to ask Lou? How is Giolito? Like, what is this elbow issue that would have prohibited him from pitching all of October? In October, the Red Sox obviously bowed out of early.
I feel like it's something that's going to be rectified.
I know what he could do. Go see Dr. Franz.
Prolo therapy, baby.
Your guy.
Stone him.
Prolo.
See my man Al.
But Jones and Keith brought this up when I was driving in, and it did make me laugh. Like, your best case scenario, probably, you look at an infield that goes Bregman, Story, Meyer, Alonso, right? And you're like, holy crap.
Don't tease me. Don't tease
you
me.
You all owed. Oh, you get the O face.
Is Story at second?
Short, for now. That may transition later, because he did fatigue and his timing was off when he couldn't throw the ball
Meyer
to first base.
Second.
Yes,
I'd,
Meyer at
I'd
second
switch
to
him
start.
In the offseason.
Then the...
Where's Fernando Tatis going to play?
San Diego?
I tried.
I like when you...
I tried.
He
is
has
he
become
your
Mason
Miller?
That's right. He has.
But then the flip side of that is, because Story could also opt out. We don't have any reports or definition there. You could lose Bregman. You could lose Story. Meyer, let's just say, doesn't recover from the wrist injury or gets hurt or something because, you know, he often gets hurt or something. And all of a sudden, you could have an infield that's Tristan Casas, Christian Campbell, David Hamilton, and I don't even remember who they had playing third in that scenario.
Nate Eaton,
probably.
Because Meyer's hurt in this scenario?
Yes.
Yeah, get
his wrist
quick.
Is fine. He was almost ready to come back in the ALDS.
Romy Wills homie. Don't forget about Romy Wills
the homie. So it's like you can have this really fun, attractive, productive, you hope, infield. There's a lot of questions there. There's a lot of questions in that infield. But I think it starts with Bregman. Because if you believe, Ted, like you do, that he's as valuable off the field as he is on it.
I do.
There's nobody that replaces that. Right. They've all said that. I mean, what did Breslow say? I've learned something every time I've ever spoken with the man or something.
I just think he's more valuable for a team Messiah? Like the Red Sox versus, you know, the Yankees or the Mets or the Dodgers or the, you know, the teams that are loaded with veterans.
Right. And I do think there's something to be said for not becoming the mercenary, just jump. And if the Red Sox become what we think they're going to become over the next 5 years, and Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony take off, and Rafaela, and, you know, the young pitchers, and they're like a perennial contender every year, Bregman is going to get credit in perpetuity. The stories of him, oh, you know what he told Meyer in his second season? He told him to move your wrist 3 inches to the left and you'll hit more home runs or something. Like, he's going to get credit for that. You're not going to get as much credit if you just go carpetbag your way to Detroit and try to put them over the top. You're not.
But Detroit will be the last stop. Like, I don't think there'll be any opt-outs. I think it'll be Boston was the transition. He was hoping it would work out. He and Boris will position it as, this is where we wanted to be. It just didn't work out. But reuniting with AJ, who I experienced so much success with in Houston, makes perfect sense to bookend my career. I'm kind of like planning how to respond to the spin and the PR if it comes our way.
Yeah, that is the one thing that's going to be tough to recover from. And it also leads me to believe they have some confidence. The way, how thick they laid it on all year long and continue to lay it on, Bregman, Veritek, whoever. Mm-hmm. When you lay it on that thick, you can't recover from that. You can't then pretend like, oh, we'll be fine without him. You can't tell me for 6 months he's the greatest thing to hit a baseball clubhouse that you've ever seen and then pretend, oh, we'll just sign somebody else and it'll be fine.
It is weird. I mean, you're hearing reports that, the Red Sox might be okay with him leaving. That's really what they want, is him to opt out.
That was the Cotillo story at the end of the year.
Yeah, like that he's... that they see him as an aging player.
Then they should have stopped laying it on so thick at some point, right? Cora should have changed his tune. Breslow should have changed his tune. Because when you tell us how important he is and then you lose him, you can't say, we didn't really want him. Like, you can't have both ways. Well, told us how good he is.
They try all the time, you know.
They do, but we won't let him be successful. That's why we're here. Dan Ball, I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, real quick, can I just say? Oh, yes. He's also a right-handed bat.
Yeah.
You need more of those.
You need more right-handed
bats. And a veteran, which they have very few of, especially if you do lose Story.
There you go. Go ahead. What was your question?
A bad right-handed bat down the stretch. Okay. We'll leave that out.
After the injury. Yep.
Yeah. Why'd he get injured again?
Just random things happen, you know?
To old people.
Because he didn't visit Dr. Franke.
There you go.
There we go. Hello.
Dan Ball, when you put my stats in here, did you cut and paste these from a story, or is this your editorialization?
I almost always do. Depends on the stat. Or almost always do copy, but what was the stats specifically?
I just laughed at his strikeout rate increased only modestly to a still excellent 14.1%.
Oh, that's MLB trade rumors is editorialization.
Okay, there's a lot in
morning.
There. It's like, it went up a little, but it's still pretty good. It's still excellent. Like, okay, just give me the numbers and you let me put those in perspective. Don't lead the witness the way you do there.
Anything else you want to criticize before I turn my mic off?
They're making fun of your sweatshirt in the Twitch chat, but I would never do that because I
like
that sweatshirt.
This is a great sweatshirt.
You have one too.
I know. I think that's what they're making fun of, that we rotate through wearing those sweatshirts.
I'm on a producer's salary, so yeah, I do take the hand-me-down clothes from the hosts.
I just love a free hoodie. Ted Johnson.
Yes.
Will Alex Bregman be back?
I am leaning to a yes answer.
He's like the magic ball.
I'm leaning to yes.
Sources say yes.
I'm leaning to yes. I think he had a good time here. He's down in Houston. He won a couple World Series. You know, it's not the same baseball market that it is here. There's just something special about playing in Boston. I think he enjoys that. I think that's going to be a very appealing thing to him. Cora loves him. The fans love him. He loves the young players. I mean, I think he's crazy for Roman Anthony. I mean, the way he talks about Roman Anthony is like, I've never heard him ever talk about anybody like that on the Astros team. So I just think there's a lot of appealing factors that would keep him right here. So I'm leaning towards him staying.
Even those visuals, Fitzy. Remember the cutaways in the dugout where it would be like Marcelo Meyer on one side, Roman Anthony, and then
just
he's
listening
like,
to him.
Yeah, he's got like a big smile and he's talking, and like the kids are at my feet. Grandpa's telling tales of baseball.
Because other veterans aren't sitting there around.
No, he's got a gravitational pull about him that just attracts the young kids, the rookies, and like they feel like they learn so much more. He's been around
But it was two way.
1, 2, 3, 4, like 10 years. Like the guy knows.
But it was two way. Like Cora admitted to us. The young guys had a pull for him, that they liked being around him.
Exactly.
And whether that's personal, whether that's making him feel young, I don't know exactly. Well, I'm just using Cora's observations. Like, he liked interacting, as you said, with Roman Anthony. He enjoyed whatever that back-and-forth relationship was.
Guys later in their career, after they've accomplished, you know, what he's accomplished, kind of want to be in a place that they enjoy, where they, you know, are, I don't know, relied on or depended on for their knowledge and just their experience to download to the younger players that look up to them. I think that is an appealing part of, would be fun for me. If I was late in my career, I think I would enjoy that part.
Plus, do they have Fenway Friday electricity in Detroit? I don't think they
do. Well, they do love their baseball. It's a great sports city.
It's not right as electric here, as Fenway Park.
The Detroit Free Press posted a piece today. Detroit Tigers blame late season collapse on bad offense. Expect significant changes in the offseason.
Bring in the guy who collapsed late in the season on offense.
Well, if Boris is going to be singing a song and telling them that he's healthy and he could be exactly what they need to get over the top. Mm. It's not this again. This is, we're playing don't shoot the messenger here. It's not what I want. It's not what how I think it should go. But I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit goes full court press for him.
Yeah, I'm going to be stunned if he leaves. I think he is all in. I think it's just the devil in the details. Finding out what makes them all look like they won the negotiation or like they did well in the negotiation. Boris has to look good. Bregman needs to be happy and look good. But the Red Sox aren't going to just bowl you over and do something stupid. It's kind of melding that all together so that they can put a number out.
I believe it was John Henry lit up the dog rocket right after the Bregman signing, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Was it after the Bregman signing?
That's when the famous photo came out.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I mean,
yes,
that's, you know, it's...
That is a good point. You think he's going to light up a dog rocket, to use your words.
Or a cigar is another way to put it. But I just think, you know, that John Henry was excited about that when you consider his numbers weren't that great this past offseason, and they still signed him to a nice deal, and he was happy about it. Why wouldn't they want to light up two dog rockets after this signing, right? So let's go, baby.
How many dog rockets is too many to say on the radio?
Too many.
617-7.
All right, coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we will indeed talk to our guy Lou Maloney about this very topic. Is Alex Bregman staying or is he going? What's it going to take? And then some of the other moves. I know there's some audio out there we're going to get to of Craig Breslow saying the Red Sox are only going to add a pitcher if it moves the needle and it's top of the rotation. Yeah, I heard that before. It was at the trade deadline. Then you went out and got May and Motts, and I was not impressed, and it didn't really help you do anything down the stretch. So proof is in the pudding. We'll talk to Lou Maloney about all things Red Sox offseason next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, the hooded one, Dan Ball, has what's trending.
I hope that Veritek stays. I'm very worried about that after having
sports.
Him yesterday. Like, I hope that meeting with he and Brez go well.
Yeah.
And I hope Brez is taking out the checkbook, because that is a name that you want to have on your coaching staff.
Good morning.
I agree with you, but I don't know that they really care about that. Like, I don't know if they see any value in that or not.
You don't think players, like, though? Like,
all of the things that Jason Veritek brings to that team, I think, are hard to find. But I don't know that the ownership group... I hope the ownership group values that, but I don't know that they do or not. I hope they do.
Well,
why doesn't he know? If other guys
that's
know,
my point.
Why doesn't he know?
If they did value it...
If Andrew Bailey knows he's coming back, 857 texter Andrew Bailey, pitching coach for the Boston Red Sox. Right. If he knows he's coming back, then why doesn't Jason Veritek
If
know
you he's valued back? That, you would already... have gave him an offer, you would already have him on the contract where he, you know, you don't want to lose the guy.
Yeah.
But I think like a lot of these, you know, some of these teams, they look at it like, all right, yeah, he played, but you know what? We can always find the next coach to come in and be a good leader in the clubhouse.
Greg, who's the first name that people think of when someone is critical of Cora as the next manager of the Red Sox?
Jason Veritek.
Who might that bother?
Alex Cora, I guess.
I mean, right? I mean,
yeah,
I'm just talking about being human.
Yeah, that would bother me.
So maybe they're like, okay, go get a job elsewhere, Captain.
Yeah, that would definitely bother me. I mean, it would be the same thing. Like, you know, you don't want to always hear, it's, you know, this guy here, and people remember him for what he did on the field, right? And what he was able to accomplish, and now he's underneath you as one of your coaches, and now it's, Curtis is right, every time it's like, oh, you should hire Veritek. Veritek could do that. Veritek wouldn't have done this. Veritek played the game at, you know, Cora played it, but Veritek played at a higher level in the sense of what he was as a major league player. And, you know, if you're the head guy, you don't really want that all the time.
I mean, how can you hear that guy the way you heard him yesterday and not believe that he has to be a part of your baseball organization?
And also, he's wanted across the board. Like, he is a hot commodity. And all I hear about all the time is that Alex Cora is the best manager in Major League Baseball because he's this player's manager and the players love him. what better guy to grow MLB players than Jason Varitek, right, and a guy who has instant credibility when it comes to players?
Because they look at it like in everything, in the world of sports, and it's probably that way in a lot of business, but I'll just talk about sports, what I know. They look at it like everybody is replaceable. Everybody's cattle. We can just get the next guy in, and everybody is expendable.
Yeah.
And that's the way the world of sports works. Like, no matter what, you could have been, could be Pedro Martinez. Yeah, we'll just get the next guy in.
Listen, Chime's lead this morning was that he's willing to say goodbye to Alex Bregman.
Yeah, if and only if, though, you are aggressive in the, you know, off-season market. If you are trading for a frontline pitcher and getting a true good bat at first base, then yeah, like, it's, I understand it, but.
And is it Jaren Duran that you're trading for Joe Ryan?
Sure. Yes. Trade him.
Yeah. I'll do that.
That's fine.
Adios.
Roman Anthony starting every day next year anyways. So if it's going to be Anthony and then two gold glove candidates in outfield, yeah, I'm okay with that.
And you can't say, and this is the thing about Bregman that I wrote down some notes when Chime was talking about. Chime, your lead was about Bregman, right?
Yeah, about Bregman. Yep.
And I wrote some of these notes down.
Like, surprised that you listened to it, since he's only a coworker, not a friend.
Yeah, right. No, he's a work friend.
Oh,
yeah, he listens to my lead. Courtney does, but that's okay. Friend.
The rare instance where a guy's trying to get into the friend zone.
Yeah, like, yeah, we're like we're a friend, and Curtis, personal
that was
friend.
Well, that's well done.
Thank you.
Personal friends adjacent from work, but you know what I mean. Like, if Sean got into a fight out of work, I'd come to his defense.
If Tech invited you to his wedding, would you go?
Probably, maybe.
What?
It's Jason Varitek.
I just asked about Gronk, and you said no.
But I know Varitek. I've hung out with Veritek.
You created the relationship.
Right, that's what off air I said, would you go to Gronk's? And he said no. I said, well, at least you're keeping it 100.
Gronk's never invited me to his house.
Have you ever been invited to Jason Varitek's
Yes.
house? Really?
Yeah, plenty of times.
Oh.
Yeah, see, that's my point.
And who do you have, who do you have playing third base for this baseball team?
Meyer.
Yeah, with the injury situation, I mean, the guy is...
Yeah, but he'll be ready for spring training.
I know, but he gets hurt a lot.
So doesn't Bregman. So then I said the Red Sox can't be... They're not the cheap ones in this, because Bregman has, and I heard Rich talking about this, $82 million left. He opted out of that $82 million, which is, you know, $41 million a year for him. There's no team that's going to get that. So if he goes elsewhere, he's probably getting... You know, let's say a team gives them, hey, Bregman, we'll give you 3 years and $90 million. So you get in
an extra year, but you're getting...
Right, you're getting maybe $10 million over. Or is there a team out there, and I wrote this number down, is there a team out there that would be willing to give Bregman 4 years at $120 million? So that's like $30 million a year? Because I don't think Bregman's worth $40 million.
I would just give him the extra year at $40 million here and have him be happy with that. And then you still have the Devers money to go get yourself. You can trade for your second starter. So you can trade for
Joe Ryan, Hunter Green, whoever. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And then you go get Yandy Diaz or whatever. Or, you know, if
your
you
Pete Alonzo's, or you go get Murakami.
Pete Alonzo is like the, you know, that's the dream.
Buffalo.
You use the Devers money for that.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you have plenty of money lying around now that you shedded $250 million last year. And if Bregman doesn't come back, that's another $80 million that you need to reallocate. It's not a, you're taking, he's not here anymore, now we get to save this money. No. You need to go reallocate that. And that's when I'll be okay with the idea of Bregman moving, if that money is properly reallocated.
We have to take a break, but we are going to talk Bruins for the 857 texter coming up at 9. With the Bruins play-by-play voice, Judd Surratt. That is coming up at 9 on today's show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in. The debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Well, it is impromptu guest time, and wasn't I minding my own business this morning, and I get a text on the, as LB would call it, the personal text machine from this guy, Jason Veritek, the captain, who says, hey, I want to come, I want to swing by and say hello to everybody.
So that's what happens when you're on planes, trains, and automobiles together for your entire weekend.
Yeah, I love it. Nothing going on today. You're like, I'm just going to come by and say hello to everybody.
I had to bring you donuts. We fed you enough while we were down there, so we brought you donuts.
Yeah, I can't. Unfortunately, I can't touch them, but somebody like Curtis perhaps could.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm diving in deep.
Wiggy said awful things about my appearance while I was gone, so I'm no donuts for me. Right.
Your hunger strike, so it's lasted about 17 minutes.
I just said you look like you had twins. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think some.
It's not great.
Some women actually like that.
Right. It was a compliment.
Two for one.
Yeah, two for one. We were talking earlier about this report from John Heyman that Alex Bregman is apparently going to opt out. Is that surprising to you, or is that business?
Oh, it's definitely business. I mean, is he a great player and a great part of our clubhouse the entire year? Absolutely. And his third base play and just him being a teammate. But, he took the risk of taking a shortened deal and have that option to find out, you know, what he's going to do as a free agent.
Jason, you would be one of the few guys with Scott Boras that elected to take somewhat of a discount to stay where you were playing. Obviously, Scott Boras is Bregman's agent. How much of a role did you have and do you think Bregman has in working with Boras to get to where he wants to go that may not be where it pays him the most money?
Well, I think that's how he probably ended up here in the first place, to be honest. Very, very, very smart man on both ends, both Scott and Breggy. It'll iron its way out, and he'll pick his best spot. But I would guarantee it's got to be somewhere to have an opportunity to win, which can be here, and it could be somewhere else.
Do we overemphasize the value that he brings as an additional coach and an additional guy who can help young players? Is that worth $40 million in addition to what he does on the field?
Well, I don't know if that's worth $40 million because then the staff would be paid that way.
Yeah.
$40 million coach.
Hopefully I had enough influence to get a pay increase instead of decrease.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
How much emphasis should you put on Alex Cora, the relationship with he and Alex Cora, to not only get him here but make sure that he stays here?
Alex is so, both Alexes are tremendous. And, you know, Alex Cora has an innate ability to communicate in his relationships with all players. And, yes, that'll be, I'm sure, instrumental along with all the rest of the staff that the other Alex has made relationships with. But importantly, he's made some bonds with some of his teammates that are already going to be there. So,
but you were,
then it becomes business.
I don't know if you can talk about it or not on the air. I assume you can. But you were telling me a story about Bregman and about Roman Anthony over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is just kind of, you first asked, is he that valuable as that another coach? He is. But he also has to perform and play. So those things, you have to balance the line, but he sees and studies and does those things. And, you know, Roman was going through a point where he was struggling when he first came up. Well, there's some innate qualities that guys have or don't have. And, you know, it was recognized, and you let, you know, like Roman has we call it a long hand load.
Yeah.
And
I have the same thing. But go ahead. Yes.
Pant load.
Yeah. So he has a long hand load.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, it's been well recognized and documented by our hitting department with Pete and everybody else. And you had to kind of play it out. But it took the impact of a player on player, player with player, for him to make that adjustment when he started struggling. And then he really, really started to impact the baseball.
So Bregman sees that and goes to him and says, you know, you got to adjust your barrel. And that's the value, and in many cases, of Alex Bregman.
100%. Yes. And then here comes our leadoff hitter that can go gap to gap even more and additional power.
Jason, we were talking about credit, whether it was Josh McDaniels, how much he deserves with Drake May. When we look at the Red Sox, right, and we look at a position like yourself where we see guys like Crochet pitch well, you see Bayo make some strides, you see Gio, how important – or how much credit should we give the coaches, right? Because we never really
give none.
No. The manager.
You give none to the manager.
Yeah, I always ask that question. Like, what's the manager really do? But you talk about hitting coaches. You talk about pitching coaches. Like, how much credit are we not giving coaches when it comes to helping guys, especially pitchers, understand the game with the catchers and that kind of thing? Because I feel like that's right up your alley.
I think that it should be a more overlooked part, because we're all there to do one thing, to serve the player and make them better. And I believe it should be overlooked. Now, if it comes out of the players' voices, which means most, that's when you know how much impact you've really had. But the way, you know, Alex constructs his staffs, that there's going to be a lot of work and a lot of time spent on each player and making them better. And that's from the top down.
Speaking of that, I don't know what you can or can't say, but speculation here and there about what your future is, because you've been with this organization your entire career. What is that, 40 years? 30?
Oh, I'm only 42 years old.
Okay, so 30, no. 30. I mean,
28 not, years, I think. 20, 27, 20, 28 years.
27, 28 years.
Greg thinks everybody's his age.
I do. Right. One organization. I mean, he looks older than me, but we won't get into that right now.
That's not true.
But you got to fix those glasses, Greg.
But do you intend to be back here? Is the organization talking to you?
You know, obviously you and I were on planes, trains, and automobiles and stuck on Gilligan's Island for a while.
Yeah.
Craig reached out this weekend to, for us to get together this week. And, I think later today we'll have a conversation.
Conversation. Okay. So it doesn't sound like from your perspective, it's a definite.
Well, I mean, you have to see everything goes on. Now, have I been here for 28 years? Yes.
I mean, the Giants were
interested. Have I dumped everything I've had to make this organization better and the people that you mentor, coach, and be a part of? Yes. Do I want to continue to do that? Yes. But I have to see where it all lies.
I mean, what organization wouldn't want Jason Varitek in it? I mean, you have such an instant credibility with the players and the fans in a very unique way.
Oh, I appreciate that. And But you hope that the most impact is what the players say. And if you can make one better or have them find their inner self and find who they are, and you've helped with that, that's what's gratifying about this job.
It did feel like this season compared to the season before, like there was no dysfunction. Once the beginning of the season kind of figured itself out, it seemed like everybody was on the same page. Was it like that behind the scenes? Did it seem like everybody wanted to win, felt like they could win? Like, is this a place where people should want to be?
It's one of, if not the best fan bases, but it's also hard. From the get-go, Alex set that precedent in spring training that we expect this team, we expect if we do our work and we stay diligent with it, that we'll get better as the season goes on, hit that bump at the end of the road, of get through that trade deadline and get ourselves a chance to get into playoffs. But we have to push through the long stretch, not short stretches.
What would you like to see this offseason adding wise? Like,
he would like a deal.
No, I know the deal. Well, the deal, like Curtis said.
If Brezbot is listening.
Yeah, like Curtis said, you'd be a moron to not bring, you know, especially the impact that you have with the pitches and catches. And we know that's the most important thing in baseball is the pitching. But when you start to look at this team, what's the area that you would like to see added in the offseason? Is, you know, another starter? Is it, you know, another hitter? Like, what would you like to see you guys do this offseason?
You know, first and foremost, we'll have to see what happens with an impact bat and player like Bregman on the offensive end. We could use a little more impact. We have obviously a plethora of left-handed hitters that are really good. Have to see where our righties lie. Like, it's hard to replace like a Rob Refsnyder and what he really brings and the ability to have quality at bats against lefties over and over and over. But for me, I always go back to pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any way to give us more depth and more strength in that starting rotation. A bullpen seems to have enough pieces that you can always add to and subtract, but the base, our organization's getting better and a little deeper. On the pitching end than what it was 5 years ago. But me, it's always pitching.
You interviewed for the Giants job a couple seasons ago. That's open again. Would that be something you're interested in?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a minimal interviews with Farhan at that point because San Diego had opened up Melvin for talks, and in the course of 12 hours, he was completely honest. He was like, we've got to go with this right now, and then if it doesn't work through, we're going to call you back. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Buster's obviously, Posey's obviously moved things around and made things very likable again in San Fran.
Yeah.
They have a good core of where they're going.
I hate to be all homerish on this, but if the organization, like if you ever left the organization, it'd be really disappointing. It's just, yes, Curtis.
Not every day you get the captain here, so we talk about it all the time. How crazy and dysfunctional was it before Devers was traded out of Boston? How uncomfortable was it in the clubhouse? What was going on behind the scenes?
I think it just kind of ironed his way out over time because these guys have to perform every day. Probably the most uncomfortable thing was the way he started the season for himself.
Uncomfortable, you know, on him, or is that on the organization, the way they spoke to him about it?
Well, you have all of spring training and stuff to get through it. Like, it wasn't like dropped on you the first day the season starts. It stinks. Breggy's an elite third baseman, which you really saw over the course of time. And Raffy's a solid player. They're an extremely good impact bat. But the teammate wise, they were pretty good. Once everything settled in, everybody pushed and rooted for Raffy to come out of it. Everybody's trying to help him. Maybe sometimes too much help, but No, they were, their relationship was great throughout the whole thing.
So it didn't feel like maybe, because when we were down at spring training, we saw him working at third base. And so we were wondering if there was a battle between Bregman and Raffy. And maybe in Raffy's mind, he was thinking, I was promised this. This is my job. They're going to let me try it to start the season. And then that wasn't the case.
Yeah, and he has to speak on exactly what was transferred to him. But it was never, Breggy was always a great teammate. He was always fine with Breggy, as far as I know. It's just like anything. You get something taken away from you, when people deal with it. It takes a while to deal with it emotionally.
Yeah. See, that's what I thought. Like, it must have been difficult for a guy who has only played one position and is very successful in the sense where you just got a massive deal. And now, and I don't know, like baseball, like it seems like when guys get moved from one position to another, it's like, oh, wow, it's a shock thing. So do you think it had to be difficult for especially a veteran player to be able to now move a position where he was so comfortable with? Is it that easy to do, or is it something that takes a lot of work?
Oh, definitely takes a lot of work. It's not the easiest thing to do. Just go, I'm going to play. First base is not easy.
That's what people made it seem like.
First base
play
is
first,
like,
anybody could do it.
Well, Wiggy, you were an all-city catcher.
Yeah, I was an all-city catcher. But everybody, they made it seem like all these people we heard were like, yeah, anybody.
Just put him there.
Just put him there. You can play first base. Yeah. Like, you can get Joe Schmo off the street to play first base. They put the worst athlete there. They made it seem like it was that. And that's why, to have you in here to kind of give the insight on what it's really like to change a position.
Especially when you've worked hard, because I can't speak of this from Raffy's standpoint of all. He cared so much about his defense. Like, kept working to get better year after year. Like, if he would get more upset during a game, not punching out with the bases loaded, but, like, if he didn't make a play that mm-hmm. he felt he should, it would physically and mentally bother him, which is what you want on your team. Then you learn how to emotionally deal with those spots so they happen less instead of snowball and keep going.
Jason, what was the, just in the moment, because I just love having this opportunity, that you sweep the Yankees, you're heading to the airport, and then Devers is taken off the bus or the plane. What was that reaction like? Did people understand what was going on?
I think that was probably the most emotional part about it, was that we just swept the Yankees and start, gaining some traction. And now, especially at that point, when he hit the homer off of the lefty on the day game.
Curtis Savant.
I don't know.
No, I was there for
the
that
Rosie's
game.
Ace, the Yankees ace from Atlanta. Good gosh.
Well, their ace, Garrett Cole, was out for most of the season.
Anyways, he hits the home. So they were very emotional. Like, we finally get traction, and then we're losing our best hitter.
Yeah.
Like, it was very emotional for them. And I tip my hat to starting with AC and then working the way up through ownership and management that it was able to settle down. And they set the president to settle it down and got everybody got on board. Had 24 hours or 12 hours of grieving and moved on.
You bring up AC. You guys played in a different era, and we talk about this all the time. How, when it comes to the analytics and the baseball ops gang, how involved are they? How many, like, are you guys comfortable with the amount of decisions that you as he as a manager and you as a coaching staff make, or do they make an awful lot of decisions for you?
I mean, AC's our manager. AC's going to make the final decision in everything that we do. Their job is to provide him and staff and players with the best analytical products that they can possibly make. And they're continually pushing and striving to continue to build and make those systems better. It comes down to it. Alex makes our decisions, and we follow his lead.
But is it weird when a dude in a Fortnite skin comes up from the basement and is like, "Hey, you ought to make this decision in this situation," and you're like,
Actually, it might be a good idea to put him in like an all skins outfit, because they're just, we're all teammates.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're all, you know, and that's where things have developed over time, is it's not a separation of church and state, mm-hmm. that, we, you know, you may agree to disagree or not, and if you're ignorant enough to not listen and to not utilize information that has been heavily built and help you to make your best decisions, you're probably not seeing the whole picture.
How do you balance that, right? Because Breslow's a former player. And the one thing I'll say about baseball, it seems like every manager was a former player. Like, you don't really see that in football. You don't see that in basketball. Hockey, it's a little bit. But how do you balance, and, you know, we joke with Breslow, calling him Bresbot and the analytics, but being a former player and going with my gut versus what the analytics are telling me?
For me, in the moment, it's combination of both, what you know and what you see and what's gone on. And you have a foundation of what you have, and you have to react in the moment appropriately. So I think it's all part of the process, and it's a continuing learning and growing process to be, some teams have gone completely one-sided, you know, one direction, completely just pro scouts and, you know, no analytics, and other ends of complete analytics. It's what you're comfortable with from the top down and how you want to manage your people and how you want to go about doing it.
The Sedan Rafaela bunt was a cause of a long conversation on this show. Do you guys work on that throughout the season? Or Wiggy was kind of saying that this is something, and I agreed with him, that you're asking a guy to do in a most pressurized spot of the year when they haven't been really bunting all season long. So do you guys bunt a lot, you know, during the regular season, or was that something Sedan was rusty with?
We've done it periodically. It's another proof in the pudding, because you even go to other games. Phillies out because of pitcher fielding practice, PFPs. But they were, the first run scored in that game, they scored because the pitcher muffed it covering first base. And then the game ends with the pitcher muffing it and panicking on a ball back to him. And those are the small details that, you know, win you 90 feet. And it's a continual ebb and flow of, you know, your fundamentals we have to take care of. We have to be even better with them this year than we were last year.
But did you work on them, like specifically bunting, work on that a lot?
Or? Yeah, I even know we don't spend a great amount of time on it.
Yeah.
But I know over the course of the last parts of the last 2 months that we bunted more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but, you know, it's like moving runners. If you never practice it, then you're not expected to do it during the game. It's part of what is considered maybe not the highest priority in practice, mm-hmm. but it does have to be a part of what you do.
So is that one of them where, like, it's like, you know, you start to look back and go, maybe Sedan was hitting the ball well. Maybe I know we're trying to play small ball here, but maybe we just let him hit away rather than kind of put him in this high pressurized situation that maybe he's not as comfortable in just swinging the bat.
Yeah, and Sedan being as athletic as Sedan is, should be able to make that bunt.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And, you know, puts us in, it's such a emotional swing when a small piece of the game is not executed. It's such an emotional swing. It just is like a play at the plate.
Other things that get you there is what you're saying.
Yeah. Now the pitcher's first and second with one out instead of second and third with one out. Big difference.
All right. So your hope is to remain here with the Red Sox.
Yes. You know, there's a lot of opportunities out there as far as managing roles. We'll see if any of that transpires. And, of course, I've grown here with my Red Sox blood, and I bleed red, but, you'll have to see what happens.
Well, yeah, you see what happens. Sometimes they back the Brinks truck up, and you bleed green. So you'll have to see.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you said there were $40 million for coaching staff.
Right.
I'm in.
You'll have to see what happens.
Now that we know what Bregman's getting the coach.
When it comes to that.
Hey, Bregman, stay. Hey, look, give me 40.
Sometimes you never know.
Right.
Curtis, before Tech heads off,
yep.
Savant-wise,
Emergency top five best tech moments. I mean, I know what's probably number one, but Curtis has an encyclopedic knowledge of all things Red Sox baseball.
It's really great. It's got me a mid-level job at this radio station. number one is obvious. And that's the
face mush.
July 20 something of 2004 when you and A-Rod went at it. My question for you, that was real. Like that the hatred that existed then seemed real. What was it about Alex that made him so punchable in your eyes?
You have any siblings?
Yes, an older sister.
Older sister.
Yeah.
Right. Someone's yelling at your older sister.
I'm probably the one yelling.
Curtis,
I hear you.
Someone's yelling. He's not a violent man.
Somebody's yelling about Tom Brady is a better analogy. Yeah.
He has a son.
Yes, I have a son.
You have a son. Yeah. Somebody's picking on your son. That's better. Are you going to let him pick on your son?
No, hell no.
Yeah, Bronson Arroyo was 130 pounds soaking wet. And and you got plunked by an 86 mile an hour fastball
on your elbow pad.
On your and you're yelling at him. If that was Pedro, he would have walked to first. If that was Schilling, he would have walked to first. But he was just yelling. He just just got in between. And
the rest is
a couple
F bombs
later.
Yeah.
I feel like the Yankees hated him too.
So cool to have Tech hit. Greatest hitter you ever played with, Manny.
Greatest right-handed hitter, yes.
Either side.
Yeah, but I have to put Nomar in that category, too.
Really?
Nomar was a different, pure hitter. Like, he'd have the same bat for 8 months, both batting practice and games, and he's got a worn-out spot on one part of the sweet spot. Like, you can't do that.
Really?
You can't do that, but, like, Manny was Manny. He was a freak. Because it's hard to say both, because then I lean towards David. You know, David was so clutch. But best I've seen, it was Barry Bonds.
Really?
Extremely different than anyone else.
And without getting too personal, but there have been some text messages. You guys have done a lot with Tim and Stacy's kids. How are they doing?
Great. I say great, but you know, you're still without your parents. Bree's at school, Trevor's at his school in Florida, and luckily we get the opportunity to be around them when they're up here in Boston, because they live in the same neighborhood, and just try and stay connected in whatever they need.
Honestly, that's one of my all-time favorite Tech moments, was when that awful news happened, how you spearheaded the team and all of his ex-teammates and took care of the kids, and the emotion you showed was just so raw and real and represented, I think, what everybody felt about Wake, and that, you know, he just was someone that so got it and what it meant to be a Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I can't say that I spearheaded it. No, Kath spearheaded majority of it, because she was around. I was working so much, but the Red Sox organization has been amazingly supportive of that family, and we're very lucky that they have made it a priority.
All right, so it's in Breslow's court, or perhaps. On his screensaver, whatever the analogy would be. And so you would like to remain here, and I would like for them to give you what you need to remain here, if I have any say in the matter.
Starting, what would you say, starting at $40
million? Yeah.
That's a good starting point.
Like that.
I love my floor.
Yeah. That's a good floor.
All right.
That is a good floor.
You're the best. And thank you for bringing donuts.
Yes, I'm thank here, you.
Honestly.
Thank you.
I think I might just smell one. I can't eat it. But
it's like Globo Gym.
All right. It's great to see you, bud.
We just jump back in the car. We'll go back, drive down.
Oh, yeah. Well,
How was that drive?
Four and a half hour Uber ride. You don't get many of those.
Wow.
All right. It's great to see you.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Thanks for having me.
Come by anytime.
I will.
Come by tomorrow if you want.
Maybe.
All right. That's Jason Veritek. Here is Courtney now with what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Bruins are headed out on a West Coast trip. They have the Golden Knights in Vegas tomorrow. Puck drop is at 10 p.m. The Celtics have their last preseason game tonight. They welcome the Raptors to the TD Garden. Tip is at 7:30, and we are just 1 week out from the season opener. At home on Wednesday the 22nd, and a check-in on October baseball. While the Mariners are up 2 games on the Blue Jays in the ALCS, the Dodgers are now up 2 games in the NLCS after a win over the Brewers. 5-1 last night was the final. When it comes to baseball around here, more sourcing coming out saying that Alex Bregman will be opting out of his contract with the Sox. That comes from John Heyman. He has 2 years and $80 million remaining on his deal. And in the spirit of Halloween, Awaken 180 is offering free consultations all month long. It's scary how easy losing weight can be. Find out if Awaken 180 is right for you. Call to book your free Awaken 180 consultation at 844-346-1800. That's what's trending. We got your Hill Notes coming up.
And, you know, obviously guys like Alex and Trevor, they have opt-outs built into their contract, and we respect that. At the same time, so much of the offseason is building contingencies and alternatives and identifying your pivot points. So from that respect, or through that lens, like, we're constantly mapping out, you know, a bunch of different paths to improving the team. It's a lot like a choose your own adventure book, right? And you know, as one decision is made, lead you down a little bit different path, and you try to kind of acquire as much information you can about all options, make the best that you can, and know that nobody walks out of an off season having executed perfectly the plan that they anticipated executing in the middle of October.
That was Craig Breslow on the 3:10 to Left podcast. Tom Caron and Alex Speer.
Choose your own adventure. Something humans do. My favorite books.
The offseason is like a choose your own adventure. Nobody does their plan in the offseason.
It's like a Mad Libs.
Yeah.
You need to put it in funny words, see what they come up with.
I mean, not for nothing. I feel like Dombrowski used to do exactly what he wanted to do every offseason.
Oh, Dombrowski usually nailed it. I think he went in, he's like, I'm going to get David Price, and I'm going to get Craig Kimbrell, and I'm going to do that.
I think the Dodgers kind of do everything they want every single offseason.
And then some. Sometimes they add players that I don't even think they even wanted. They're like, oh, we'll take him too.
So I just,
we'll take Blake Snell.
Look, messaging is not that man's strong suit.
No.
But I don't like to hear, and this is somebody who I believe in his baseball decision-making. If you don't like Breslow the robot, and you don't like, you know, how he carries himself and how he talks to the media and interacts with human beings, fine, I'll grant you all those things. But when it comes down to baseball decisions, like his offseason last year, yeah, I think was great. So I trust him. I don't like hearing already in a year where, and this is where I think I can meet the Devers people in the middle, in the year after they trade Rafael Devers to save money and to get that a-hole off the team,
mm-hmm,
and allow people like Bregman to actually come in and lead. And you said this yesterday, Keith. He goes to the Giants. They stink. He's already gotten the manager fired.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy they moved on from that. But now you've saved that money. This is when you spend it. People crying about spending it at the deadline didn't know what they were talking about. You weren't going to replace that money at the deadline. It wasn't going to happen. Now, the offseason, that's when it's going to happen. And I don't like already hearing about backup play. The World Series hasn't even started. It's not over. We're not at winter meeting, GM meetings, anything. And he's already talking about pivot plans and like fallback plans. That I just don't want to already hear about that.
Yeah, we know he's bad at trade deadlines. We know that.
That
there's
one,
no.
So far, he has not been good at
0 for 2.
Yes. Yeah.
He's had 2 cracks at it, and he's been really bad at it. When you want a player, when you want to extend a player, he's been great. He, Garrett Crochet, Roman Anthony, Seidon Rafaela was his, Brian Bello was his. Christian Campbell, I don't know if you want to give him credit yet for that. But anyway, like, those are all guys that he has signed to long term. So that part is good. Last offseason, you can't deny how good it was. Like, they got Garrett Crochet, who might be the best pitcher in the American League. They got Alex Bregman, who, well, that's another whole side debate now. But at the time, that was a great get. Carlos Narvaez, even, like, that was a good get. Aroldis Chapman was the best closer in all of baseball. I
mean, Chapman's another one they've already extended.
Another one. So add him to the
list. With Crochet, yeah, and everybody else. Yeah.
So it was awesome. Also, I don't think Craig Breslow woke up one day and was like, I'm trading Devers on my own.
No.
He was told to trade Devers. He got a horrible return for him.
Yeah.
But he was told to trade him. And we know that he was told, because the Giants confirmed this, we're not paying for him. We're not paying for anything. So get the best you can get. And he's like, well, this is the best I can get for not paying for him. I'm not giving him an excuse for that. I mean, those guys are terrible. They got a horrible return. But he did what he was told in that regard.
He was hamstrung in some ways. He still should have done better than he did
now,
on the return.
So now this offseason is when you can maybe make up for that, or maybe, you know, as pissed as a lot of people were about the Devers trade in general, regardless of the return, this is where you go out and actually help your team. You need to replace it. Now, it doesn't mean you hand out another, you know, $300 million deal. I would like that. That'd be great. But maybe it's a couple of 150s. You know, you can get a couple of really good players for 150s. You have to spend it now, or it makes this past mid-season moves that he made look even worse. Like, you have to do something this year.
It makes that look worse, and it makes the Devers move specifically look worse.
Yes.
Like, if you turn around and pay Pete Alonso, I like Alonso better than Devers anyways.
Same.
You upgrade. Yeah. Never mind the a-hole teammate that he was. I think you got a better player. He's been a better player than Devers. You know, more 40 home run seasons, more MVP votes, all these things. Mm-hmm. You know, so I like him better than Devers. Oh, Devers is a third baseman. No, he isn't.
Well, yeah.
So, look, I think there's a chance to upgrade, but it is going to be a big test. Our guy Justin in D.C. on Twitter sent this to us unprompted earlier today.
Okay.
Breslow is trash. I know you feel that way. And the fans will 100% sour on him. This I agree with. As the offseason continues, the Devers trade, plus losing Bregman, relying on an injured Story, and Meyer is nuts. If that is the offseason.
Oh, God. I'm right there with you.
Bregman walks. Yeah. And the replacements are Story opting in. Mm-hmm. I guess there was mixed reporting on that yesterday that he plans to, that he doesn't plan to. Sean McAdam, I guess it was more of a feeling than a report.
Mm-hmm.
But Story may opt in. And then Meyer at third. I mean, if that's the plan, you should sour on Breslow.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm falling for it again, Keith. Although people say we fall for it every offseason with the Red Sox. They did sign Bregman last offseason.
So they had a great offseason last offseason. You can't say that was bad.
But the idea of like, every offseason we get to it and it's like, are the Red Sox going to spend and are they going to bring anybody in? Bregman's one of the guys I wanted him to get. They got him.
Yeah.
So let's not pretend they didn't do that offseason or last offseason. If they come out of it with what Justin in D.C. is saying, mm-hmm. or they lose Bregman and don't replace him, well, then, yeah, people deserve to sour on Breslow.
Yeah.
If Bregman's back and they sign Alonso, then people should be giving him credit. And I want to draw that line in the sand now, because that would be a really good offseason.
They need to, but here's the thing, is the expectations are now even a lot higher, because you made the playoffs, you did have a pretty good team, you have a young core that is locked up, and now you don't have that excuse about the money. It shouldn't matter anyway. In reality, they should have, if they wanted to, kept Devers, paid Bregman, brought in Alonso, the Red Sox. But that's, unfortunately, not the case anymore. And we could spend the whole show arguing about that and, you know, the price to go to the game versus what they're spending on the players. But I think everyone's aware of that. So you're just sort of like, you know, you're beating a dead horse. They need to, though, re-sign Bregman and bring in two impact players. And that is not asking too much. You have the money to do it. Plus, they sort of set that too. They're like, well, we don't want to trade for anybody that's a rental, right? That was the big talk during the trade deadline. So you almost let us kick the can down the road on Joe Ryan. Well, now we're at that road. Like, now we've moved down. Now it's, okay, make a deal for him. If everyone's making deals for him, if the Twins are going to move him now, then do it. And so last year they executed a really successful offseason. This year they need to do it as well, or it is going to be people are going to lose their minds. I mean, you've sort of set that bar up pretty high.
Oh, look, I think he's going to have a good offseason. He had a good offseason last year. But that's a belief. If he doesn't do it, then people will be right to have their pitchforks and complain. And Justin in D.C. will be right.
If you don't get...
The fans will turn even more than they have. If they don't bring Bregman back, I think they will. And if they don't add another bat on top of it, which I hope they will, I'm not sold they will, I do think they're going to trade for starting pitching. I feel pretty confident about that. What caliber, we can debate. But I do think they're going to trade for starting pitching.
I hope you're right. You know, if they don't get Joe Ryan or Hunter Green or somebody like that. And then, or Tarik Skubal.
Don't cross Skubal off the list.
I'm not, he's top of my list.
I'm not telling you the Red Sox are getting him, but I think he's moving.
But if they don't get one of those guys, and if they don't get Pete Alonso or another big bat, and Bregman leaves, I mean,
it's a disaster.
Nightmare scenario.
That is a disaster. Speaking of the pitching.
Thank
you, John.
Heyman.
Speaking of the pitching. Breslow was asked about this as well on 3:10 to left. See if this sounds familiar, Keith. Andy Hart pointed this out yesterday, perhaps on their show. I saw him do it on Twitter. But this answer probably should sound familiar from Craig Breslow.
what we need to do and what we'll do over the course of the offseason is take a step back and really recognize what type of potential pitching additions or acquisitions really move the needle for us, because we do have, you know, what I would suggest is a strong group of pitching depth. And so we want to make sure that any additions that we make actually improve our team. And, you know, I think you can say, hey, we've got to add someone at the front of the rotation, or, you know, if there was significantly less depth, we would say we need to just amass depth because of the things like injury and attrition that wear that down. Where we don't want to find ourselves is having to address both. And I don't think that's the case right now.
So he feels they have the depth, which is a bit of a scary answer. But again,
yeah,
we want impact pitching. He said that going into the deadline last year.
Yeah.
And unless you count Dustin May.
I don't.
I do not either.
No.
They did not get quote unquote impact pitching.
No, they got Dustin May. They got in totality, Steven Matz, Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison. These guys were all added at some point during the season. They had an impact, I would say. They had a negative impact.
Not a strong impact.
No, yeah. No. And like you also, I think a good example last year is like the guys that don't have a real track record, you simply can't rely on. So Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford 2 years ago were pretty good. And if you went into last year thinking you were going to get like a good season out of them, like they didn't even pitch. So
I would go into next year saying, I hope one of Houck, yeah, Crawford, Sandoval, who they signed in like a Giolito style deal a year ago. I would hope,
yeah,
not count on, but I would hope one of those three guys can pitch for me.
And even like Peyton Tolley, Connolly Early. I like both those guys a lot. I like those guys more than the three you just named.
I hope one of those two are in the rotation.
Yeah, so maybe that's what he's referring to in like depth. Is like you do have a pile of guys to choose from, but who's it going to be besides Crochet and Bayo? Like I'll throw Bayo on there. Like you need another guy.
And maybe Giolito.
Maybe Giolito.
But that's a maybe. You don't even
know
if he's back.
Yeah, that's an injury thing and a contract thing.
Right. We don't know if he's back. We don't know if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Like you really look at his career year to year. You really don't know, all due respect to the hashtag Dork podcast,
well,
you really don't know what kind of pitcher he's going to be year to year. 617-779-7937. Robson Swamskit. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I don't know how to say this nice, so I'm just going to say it. You got to get rid of that nightmare at first base known as Tristan Casas, because he is not going to help you. If Breslow's talking about someone who's going to move the needle, he's not going to move the needle. Okay, either he's injured, or he thinks too much of himself, or he feels his footwork at first base is exquisite, and then he boots two balls that night. So he's not what you need. You do need an Alonso that you got to clear out. You know, it's like when you're trying to get a better renter in an apartment. First thing you got to do is the person who you're trying to evict. And you got to
your landlord, Rob.
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly
your landlord
on the up and up. But okay,
I got thrown out of an apartment once.
The first thing you got to do is get that renter you want out.
Yeah,
so you can bring in a good one.
You gotta find the source of the problem. You got to get that out. No, Casas can go. Now the problem is his.
Well, he has no value.
Zero value. Both Jaron Duran and Tristan Casas' value from maybe 2 years ago or last year at this time.
If you put Campbell, Casas, Duran all in the same deal, I don't even know what that would get you.
I mean,
nothing.
Yeah.
Something.
Zach Gallen.
Yes, yeah, something, but not what I think people are hoping.
Not even.
So I don't think Casas is a part
of their. You could get Kyle Harrison and Jordan Hicks.
I don't think he's a part of their plans at all. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Like, if they strike out on Alonso, he's their first baseman.
Breslow had a good non-answer a couple weeks back when he was asked about Casas straight up, and he was like, yeah, well, it's a little early to be penciling in anybody at first base.
He's either going to Worcester or he's gone, but he's got no value.
No.
None.
Now, I think they got to wait, though, don't they, until hopefully they get Pete Alonso, or hopefully they get Kyle Schwarber, or hopefully they get somebody like that, because if they don't,
and your hand's a little forced in any trades, but I don't know.
Who do you got over there at the other hot corner?
I feel like there's a million guys you could plug in at first base.
Even off the scrap heap.
Yeah, no, not on this
team. Bring Nate Lowe back.
No, but like.
Ooh, Nate Lowe.
Is Naylor a free agent? Like, guys like that. So like,
I think so.
I think there's another tier or two down from Alonso where you could still upgrade on Casas. I don't think he's a part of their plans. If he is, then I'm horrified as well. I wouldn't worry too much about it, Rob. Worry about evicting all your renters.
Yeah, first base, Pete Alonso, Josh Naylor, Ryan O'Hearn, Carlos Santana, Paul Goldschmidt, who's 100, Justin Turner, who's even older.
Yeah, I mean,
ooh,
not,
Dom Smith. Bring Dom Smith okay, back. So
that's not a great list, but like you can, after the first two or three names,
Devers
that's not
plays
a great
first
list.
Base.
Yeah, he does. That's true. Not yeah. well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.